The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 27th of February, 2019. On the podcast today, Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion, VRS is the ticker there, and Neil talks about who's joining them on secondment from the government's Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. Plus, I also have on Dennis Thomas, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Global Mining, that's PGM ticker, and Dennis explains why they've significantly increased their Empire Mine landholding in Idaho. I also have on the podcast John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talking about Rio Tinto's results. And also, he touches on Phoenix Global Mining, PGM. And as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. And there's also a heap load of content right there. Something about Hummingbird Resources, something about Vast Resources. There's a video interview as well worth looking at. There's something on Metro Bank, which is a big faller the last couple of days. That's there at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion. That's VRS ticker. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, and you announced yesterday the appointment of a BEIS secondee, which is the Government's Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. That's been a change there, so we'll discuss that in a bit. As always, though, if anyone's new to investing, Neil, I know you've been on the podcast quite a few times, but if someone's not heard of the company, how would you explain Vesarion to them, please?
Okay, so it's a business we started in 2011, which takes materials technology out of UK universities and turns it into products. We're very fortunate over the last 12 to 14 months, we've been involved heavily in the graphene space, and we've been able to demonstrate superb progress, both on a geographical basis, but also on a sector basis with some great collaborations.
Excellent stuff. So take us through this news. So I'm afraid to pronounce the name. Is it Yi Luo?
A bit of a change around as we go through different phases. We're very fortunate and almost unprecedented to have these secondees in from UK government. Never been done before for an SME like ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if you were a Rolls Royce or a GE, you might be able to get access to these guys. Peter's been with us about 6 months. Peter's a high-flying civil servant on the accelerated management program. Obviously, the government's got quite a bit on at the moment, and he's taken the opportunity to get a promotion within DIT, Department of International Trade. But the government, nor did the government want to just leave and kind of forget about some of the stuff that's been going on here. So now we've got you coming in and helping us. And to be honest, the timing's absolutely perfect for us because Peter's been very, very good working with our guy out in China, Bruno, negotiating these quite significant government kind of conversations. And they had a very, very busy program during January. And now Peter's kind of moved aside and he's come in, who's a qualified chemist who understands the technology, understands graphene, and can really get into the meat of the actual applications end of it rather than necessarily the negotiating at the top end. Yeah. Fantastic CV, fantastic set of experiences, and obviously, really going to be really influential in these conversations going forward. So great for us.
Yeah, and what's it like in China at the moment? I mean, there's a lot of stuff, being attributed to the global slowdown from China, from America, the trade tariffs, and people saying China, who are still expanding at a feral crack, over 6%, but there's people saying they're slowing down. I mean, I don't know if you've been over there recently, but I don't know if you can tell anyway, but is there a sense that the economy's, really slowing down or not?
Not that we've seen. you know, I think like all things, there's a change of opportunity. So within China, you know, one of the big things is how quickly that things like electric vehicles are being taken on board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're seeing a different set of circumstances out there. You know, the amount of development and expansion that's going on is still unbelievable. You know, the number of factories that are being built, the number of apartment blocks. And in fact, you know, some of the guys, because of that, that gives companies like ourselves massive opportunities. Yeah. What we've seen is that they have to challenge conventional ways of doing things. So this is why, as I said before, electric vehicles and electric heating and all these kind of new technologies that would take someone in the West a while to adopt, they're literally going at its, you know, at an incredible pace.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I did look at some figures a while back, and the expansion of their economy now at 6% is still a lot bigger than the expansion of the economy 10 years ago, which was 14%, because obviously the economy is a lot bigger. So even though the percentage has gone down, the amount of dollars generated is a lot more anyway. So, you know, it's not sort of expansion in real terms. But, and is it, I mean, are you finding it obviously helps have secondees there, I suppose, but is it easy doing business over there?
It's not easy doing business. You know, they're a nation of negotiators. There's a very strong political theme that runs through even corporates, you know. Mm. So in the UK, we're quite used to the government being quite isolated from what's going on in key organisations in the UK. But in China, you know, the government is all the way through it, you know, so they support, they provide funding, they're controlling, you know, so it can be difficult and it can take time, which is what we've seen. But you have to understand that we only had our initial conversations just over 12 months ago. Mm. And in that time, we've been able to negotiate some significant commercial contracts with some of the largest organisations. You know, some of those organisations have 150,000 employees. Mm. We've also seen, obviously, huge amounts of support following the Prime Minister's visit from the provinces. We now know all of the guys in the embassy. We know how we can actually maximise the opportunity that we've got in front of us. And now, you know, the guys are really, really busy just, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's to make sure that the company gets the best deal that it can possibly get. It protects its IP and it can, you know, start moving towards this this leader and first mover advantage. And that's what we've been laying the foundations for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I ask you two questions. Secondly, I ask you what you're most excited about at the moment. But firstly, I'm going to ask you, what's the hottest topic? What's the question that keeps coming up? I know you're on social media quite a bit. What's the question that people are asking the most, Neil? Obviously, there's certain things you can't answer, but something that you could answer that's come up quite a bit.
Well, we've done quite a few investor events recently, and one of the questions that came up from an investor last night, you know, is, you know, what's happening with the share price? And, you know, from our point of view, from the management point of view, the share price is quite disconnected from what's happening within the business. If you think about where we were 12 months ago, before we'd started even having these conversations with China, and you think about where we are now, having the guys just having come back, me just about to go out to the US to speak at a big Congress event, you know, something that's going on at the White House. We're in a completely different place, you know. And so, you know, it's for us, we're quite disappointed that the share price is where it is, because we believe the business is in a much better position than it was, you know, 12 or 24 months ago. But, you know, all the collaborations are going well. All of the trade negotiations and the trade deals and the international expansion is going well. Matt is really, really busy. Our guys are out in the Mobile World Congress at the moment. You know, they're having a fantastic time out there, talking to lots and lots of people. They're part of the Graphene flagship. They've got their, you know, we've got our first products. People were questioning, you know, how important the Media Devil headphones were, because it was a relatively small company, but what it's enabled us to do is be front and center in all of those conversations going on at Mobile World about actual graphene applications. These are things that are out there you can touch and you can feel, and they're not academic papers about, you know, how we might be able to improve things. These are actual products that show us that we can actually deliver graphene into applications, and that's really important.
Yeah. And one final thing then, what are you most excited about at the moment?
To be honest, I think it's Korea, I think it's China, I think it's some of the collaborations. You know, we're seeing good progress on all of those. The team is so busy, and I'm, you know, so happy to have such a great team around me that that can take on these big challenges. And it's just, you know, for us, it's just an evolution of everything that we've been doing up to the point where we can move towards this first mover advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, Neil, three reasons, if someone's listening to this right now, three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, so the first one is about our connections and our contacts with the University of Manchester, the University of Cambridge. We sit in a very unique position. But this news today shows that we've also got that key support from government departments in order to be able to really leverage what we're doing. The second thing is around the technology itself and around how it's being adopted and all of these big companies that we're talking about and how these collaborations are actually coming to fruition. And the last one is that I'm still a large shareholder, and as such, my aims and ambitions for the company long term are all aligned to those of the long term holders as well.
Marvellous stuff. Thanks for that, Neil. And hopefully, we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dennis Thomas, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Global Mining. That's PGM ticker. Dennis, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice, Justin. Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, listen, you've had some good news out here. You've increased your land position quite significantly. We'll get into that in a bit. Before we do, Dennis, for people not aware of the company, can you explain what you're all about, please?
Well, we're basically a junior mining company. We have now focused ourselves basically on developing base metals, and precious metals in Idaho at the moment, concentrated our operations on the Empire Mine and the Idaho Cobalt Belt. Look to be developing the Empire Mine open pit, all being well, in 2021. We're currently undertaking a bankable feasibility study, and we're exploring for cobalt on the Idaho Cobalt Belt.
Yes, absolutely. And well, and take us through, Dennis, what you've done, how much you've increased your land position by, and why you've done it, please.
Well, yeah, if I can wind back a bit, we've had two press releases out this week, Justin. We had a release on Monday, which basically tidied up, for want of a better word, the last seven holes of our 2018 drilling program, which was highly successful. Infill drilling, which was filling gaps in our ore body and our surface oxide ore body at the Empire Mine, and also step-out drilling, which was, if you like, a bit of exploration drilling outside the present known ore, which was highly successful. In other words, we've got an expanding ore body. In previous releases, we'd already said about finding the missing link between, if you like, Empire Mine and the Horseshoe block to the north. We've actually confirmed that ore body. So the ore body's enlarged itself in terms of length. But we also, during that field season in 2018, mapped the continuation to the north and the west of the ore body. So this ore body was going northwest. And in fact, we found now that we've increased our footprint from what was originally just over a kilometer in the Empire block. We're now looking, with this increased block that we've just taken on, of I think it's 13.34 square kilometers in terms of the increase in blockage. But we've now increased this to 5.3 kilometers in length of known ore strike, And obviously, with this new mineralization that we found, it's gone off the property to the north. We've acquired some further claims to the north in what we call the Windy Devil claims block. But also, we've identified another extension to the mineralized system, approximately 4 miles west of the Empire mine, which is the same system called the Navarre Creek. And again, that's we've got mineralization, or we believe we have mineralization there, over 20,000 feet. So that's 3.8, nearly 4 miles. So considerable increase in mineralized potential now that we have. And we said that this, I've been saying and I've been hinting for a long time, I think, in the conversations that we've had, that we believe we're on a huge system here. And this is really, how could I say, testimony to that fact. It's for me, it's one of the most exciting things that we're doing at the moment, is this ore body is expanding.
Yeah, so you're obviously quite bullish then in that area.
Extremely, extremely. We you've got to remember that we have a situation where we have actually a resource. We've had a drilling program been going on with the oxide open pit. This is the surface tip of the iceberg. The Empire mine historically was mined in sulfides underground. And high head grades of between 6 and 8% copper. Well, some of our drilling that you'll have seen again from this last result on Monday has in fact confirmed, if you like, some of these historic high grade sulfide veins that we're and leads that we've been finding, and some of the results are spectacular. But the Horseshoe block is also opening up now sulfide potential with lead and zinc and high grade silver. And that is exciting, particularly as it means that in a mineralized system, the lead and zinc occur high up in the system. It's a bit like a sort of fractional distillation, where the certain metals come out at certain depths, and lead, zinc, silver tend to be higher in the system than copper. So in fact, the potential mineralized at depth, particularly when you go up into the Horseshoe, is even more considerable. But interestingly, Navarre Creek is a different style of mineralization, and that is what we call a hot springs, which is a very late stage when, if you like, volcanic activity is cooling down, and you get hot springs, and you tend to get high grade gold. Gold and in this case antimony, and this is very, it's the same style of mineralization that you get in Nevada at what they call the Carlin Trend. And our geologists, in fact, one of our geologists took one look at the Navarre Creek exploration claim and just said, if this was Nevada, we'd have a mine now. It would be, somebody would be mining it. So that is, that's an exciting potential for particularly gold.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as milestones are concerned, Dennis, what's the next big milestone you're going to achieve?
Well, milestones we've got, we're just getting our head around and arms around the results we've got from our cobalt drilling. Our cobalt sampling program. And that we'll be looking at the figures that we get from that with regard to what the potential will be there for our program. But the next major milestone is in fact the resource, our new resource. At the moment, we're working on a historical resource back from November 2017. We'll be in April. I estimate producing a new resource, which will, if you like, have the benefit of an additional more than 28,000 feet of drilling that we did during our 2018 program. So I'm I'm quite excited to see what the results will be. And that will underpin our work then that we'll be doing for the bankable feasibility study, which is taking place to, obviously, for the, if you like, the surface oxide mine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, Dennis, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, given those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please, Dennis.
Well, I mean, thinking about this, and I've been, for a long time now, since 1984, looking at projects and what makes projects win and what makes projects lose and what I'm looking for in my prospecting activities over the years. And I believe, number one, project itself, particularly what the project is, we're multi-commodity. We've got copper, gold, silver, now lead and zinc, in fact, with the acquisition of the Horseshoe block and the Windy Devil block to the north, and cobalt. So we've got a strong, very strong project with huge potential, particularly with the sulfides, and tungsten at depth. So I think we've got huge potential in what we have, and we're starting to find that out now as we do our drilling program, as we develop this.
Mom.
The second point is location. I think you've got to be in the right place, and we're strongly focused now on Idaho. Mining Journal perceived risk in their perceived risk. Idaho, in fact, was top in the world with Finland, and quite frankly, that says it all. We're a great place to be. But thirdly, I come back, particularly as far as we're concerned, to people. A project doesn't work without good people, and I think we've got, you know, from the top, from the board, we've got people who've achieved, brought mines into production, have managed practically on the ground. We have a superb team of specialists led by Ryan McDermott, our COO, specialists in what we're mining, particularly skarn geology, that sort of thing. So if you like, we've got a great package.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Dennis, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Look forward to it, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good, thank you.
Now, it's always good to look at the majors, I think, just to see how they're faring, you know, and you just informed me that Rio's had some numbers out. So what's happening at Rio Tinto, John?
Well, a good set of figures this morning. They increased their underlying earnings to $8.8 billion. That's billion. That's a 2% increase. And that means that they can declare another record dividend, which is great for investors and great for Rio Tinto shareholders. That's largely driven by iron ore and by a recovery in the copper division.
Yeah. John, I've asked this before, I don't know if it's changed though, but do you know, look at the chart there, Rio chart. It's quite interesting because they are now hitting £44.25 there, and that's basically a previous high is about 45. So it'll be interesting to see if they get over that 45 level, because sometimes you'll see a company will fail on that first attempt to get above that previous high, you know, so there may be a chance, but there's a great support down at £36. So it's worth looking at the chart there. But good move. They've had a good move the last few years, haven't they? Wow.
Well, I think the share price is, one, reflecting the strength of earnings and the strong dividend yield that is gained off these mining stocks. But also a sense of optimism that Donald Trump is going to settle the tariff war with the Chinese, at least for now. I don't think that tariff war is going to completely go away, but I think the immediate threat of it will probably dissipate, and so Rio's is just powering through.
Yeah, did you? Well, do you know what? Looking at the chart there, they were at £16.15 in 2016, and now they're almost £45. That's for a big company. That's good going, isn't it?
And the major driver is the very strong recovery in iron ore prices, which I think has surprised many in the market, and is a reflection of the determination by China to keep growing internally and with its external exports as well.
Yeah, did you see that video of Trump and his trade minister talking about an MOU. It was cringeworthy to say. Well, you know, one of many cringeworthy moments in Trump's history. But it was in the Oval Office there, and there's a lot of people there, delegation from China as well, and it was full of press, and they signed an MOU, haven't they, with China? And Trump said, "Well, I don't like the word MOU. We're not going to do an MOU. I don't like MOUs because they don't mean anything. MOUs don't mean." And he really dissed an MOU. You know, completely said it's not worth the paper it's written on. And then his trade minister said, "Well, we've signed an MOU. It's a legal document. He tried to sort of big it up then." And then Trump came back again, dissing it again. So I don't want to do an MOU. I don't want to do it. So it's like, God. Why didn't he can't just shut his mouth, can he? You know, it was going well. The Chinese were there, the press was there, and he just kept saying, "I don't like MOUs. I don't like MOUs." I thought, okay, listen, don't worry. Just keep quiet for now. It's fine. It's okay. But have you not seen that? It's worth watching, John. It's unbelievable.
Trump is a property market man, and I think these things mean slightly different things in different markets. And of course, when you're dealing with the Chinese, it's important to remember that one has to watch what they do, not what they say. And I think that's why I think these tariff issues will probably run and run for some years, with different concessions and negotiations going on.
Yeah. Well, I think, do you know what's also worth noting? Trump pretends the pressure's all on the Chinese. Not the case, is it? He's given that picture, but there's a lot of pressure on America as well. And let's be honest, there's a presidential election in 2020. He said he's going to run again. Now, he doesn't want the stock market tanking when he's going to presidential elections, does he? So, he wants to help industry, I think, from now, do you think?
Trump has always said he's very pro-business, and most of his actions are pro-business, but he's a tough negotiator. He likes to go in with a tough line, and he's determined that he'll do a deal. But he, of course, the flip side of that is he doesn't really want to walk away with not doing a deal. So no. The Chinese, I think, are working out how to deal with that.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, he doesn't want it because it's bad for global economics. So he knows that. And so it's not good for anyone. Any other news, John, on companies being looking at?
Well, Phoenix Global Mining have put out a couple of press releases over the last 2 days. The most important one relates to the drill results from the Emperor Mine in Idaho in the United States. I've always liked the look of that project, and the drill results are looking very nice. So 6.1 meters of 0.5% copper combined with some zinc, zinc, silver and gold. Then there's another 4.5 meters wide at 0.66% copper, and another 1.5 meters at 1.4% copper. So these are good results for near surface drilling, and that suggests to us that that the results are confirming the potential for this project going forwards.
Yeah. And do you know what? I just spoke to Dennis on the podcast earlier, and he's a lovely guy, always very polite, and always, says to me nice things, that he likes to hear my voice and all that stuff. Just a very nice guy, isn't he? Down-to-earth guy.
Well, they're an old-school team. They've bags of experience. They know how to do a proper job. They are the right sort of management to want to be invested in, and I think other opportunities are going to come their way because they're in a good place. They've got a sensible looking company, and this ought to grow.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's also when I speak to people like that, I wish them well because, like you say, they are they have integrity and they've done it all before. They're professional guys in the industry, and I wish them all the luck with that project. But they're in a good jurisdiction and they're in good commodities, aren't they?
They certainly are. Copper, cobalt. These are the right sorts of metals to be in. They've got some gold and silver in there, which is nice, even a bit of zinc. I think there's everything to play for, and there are other opportunities in the area. And I think that their confidence in the project is supported by the announcement of further acquisition of land around the old Emperor mine. That mine was shut down by Cambior when commodity prices were very, very low many years ago, and as we know, that the reopening of old mines is one of the better things to do these days in the world of mining and commodities.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, marvelous stuff. Anything else, John? Any other? In fact, let me just ask you one question before you go. I've asked this before, like I said, but it may change. What's your favourite commodity at the moment? What do you think is looking very good for say 5-10 years out? I mean, you know, it's getting traction now.
Well, copper is always a mainstay favourite of ours. Look, if we're able to find a decent tin project or tin mine to bring to investors, then I think that should also do well, according to the forecasts. Although that is a longer term thought and view. For now, we're looking at things like titanium mineral sands and other industrial minerals. I think titanium might take tungsten might take a bit longer to get going in the market, because with Ormond Mining coming into production probably within weeks, and various people looking at the potential to restart the Wolf's Hemmerdon mine down near Plymouth. But I think other industrial minerals look like they're set to have a good run.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. John, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up this time next week.
Yes, look forward to it.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It is Rehobold Resources, RBD, so I couldn't see it then. At four, Metro Bank, I mentioned those earlier. Big faller of late, and that's MTRO, down 15% on 20% again today. And they pretty much halved in value, I think, due to accountancy problems. And they've gone for a cash call as well, of course. At four, three, Realm Therapeutics, that's RLM. At two, Wide Sales Group, WDC, a big riser of late, of course, a tiny micro cap there. And number one most followed company is Mitotech Pharma, that's MTPH. Did well on the NASDAQ yesterday, about 300%, I think, but over here, I think it did about 100% yesterday, I think, and about 38% today. So big moves there. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, it is Holdings and Company. What's that? Vast. Yon Bud. Okay, Vast Resources there. Someone has crossed a 4% threshold there in Vast. At four, let me go back to the page, I'll just check out the level there. Jangada Mines, JAN, updated corporate presentation. At three, it's Vast again, the lodgement of final prospecting report at Magura, Niagara, and Vicuri, Zimburi, to ANMR. Sorry, my pronunciation was dreadful there. At two, Angus Energy, operations and Lindsay Field, interest update. And the number one most liked RNS came from EVR Holdings, appointment of Chief Commercial Officer. I think he was ex of, let's have a think, where is he from? Oh, Shazam. Yeah, good lap, Shazam. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.